Going to read this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the Majjalila, chapter 12, cleaning of the Gundzicha temple, because today is the day. Jaya Jaya Gura Chanda, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chanda, Jaya Gura Bhakta Vrinda. Here, go ahead. Jaya Jaya Gura Chandra. Taya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Gaurachandra, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Dvaitacharya, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Gundicha Mandiram Atma Vrindai Samarayan Kshalanan Kshalanata Sagauraha Swachit Tavachilatam Ujvalam cha Krishno Pavesho Payikam Chakara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way, he made the temple as cool and bright as his own heart, and thus he made the place befitting for Lord Sri Krishna to sit. I'm beginning this narrative here with text number 71. The car festival of Lord Jagannath approached. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first of all called for Kashi Mishra, and then for the superintendent of the temple, and then for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When three people came before the Lord, he begged them to wash the temple known as Gundicha. That is to say, he begged them for the service of washing the temple. This Gundicha temple is 2 miles northeast of Jagannath temple. That's where the Lord goes at the time of the Rath Yatra festival. He goes there. The Rath Yatra festival takes the Lord from Jagannath Puri to Gundicha, about 2 miles. Then he stays there for 1 week, and then he returns after 1 week. So there's two Rath Yatras, one going and one coming back. Upon hearing them wash the Gundicha temple, the Padicha, the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform. The king gave a special order for me to do without delay whatever your lordship orders. My dear lord, washing the temple is not service befitting you. Nonetheless, if you wish to do it, it is to be accepted as one of your pastimes. To wash the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you." As soon as the superintendent understood the desire of the Lord, he immediately delivered 100 new water pots and 100 brooms for sweeping the temple. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and, with his own hand, smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleaned the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleaned everything in the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Simhasana, cleansed it, and again put it in its original place. Simhasana is where the Lord sits, the altar. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the meeting place. There's a temple where the deities stay, and then there's like a hall attached, there's a space in between. Indeed, hundreds of devotees, I went to see Gundija Temple, but well, they wouldn't let us in because they don't let Westerners go there. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their respective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places, he even cleansed with those tears. After this, the place where the deity's food was kept, Bhoga Mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed. Then all the residential quarters, one after another. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straw and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. Then the Lord told the devotees, "I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and the dust, all the straw and dust you have collected outside." Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas, lotus feet. The water that fell from the who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was given that water for charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and it then flowed and filled the yard outside. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. The temple was cleansed. It was purified, cool, and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. This is the of the statement, when you clean the temple, you clean your own heart. Now you can see things are going on here. And that's the purpose of the story, that the devotees externally are cleansing Gundija Temple. It sits empty all year, so naturally many things blow inside, so when you come there, it's quite filled with dirt and twigs and sticks and bat droppings and whatever else. So they clean it. But in the process, they're cleaning their own hearts. That will become clear. As this verse said, after the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool and pleasing, just as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, someone began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again. Back and forth. With the exception of Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Swarup Dhammananda, Brahmananda Bharati, and Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling the water pots and bringing them there. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. Some people were filling the pots and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting the holy name Krishna, 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 and another delivered the pot by chanting Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing hundreds of men. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached everyone just to teach them how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act in the same way." As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus they began to work with great attention. They washed the Jagamohan area and then watched the place where food was. Jagamohan is in front of the temple. All other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus, all the places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, Sarala, means without duplicity of mind, very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. See, the two words, Subuddhi and Sarala. So, very intelligent and Sarala. So, simple doesn't mean simple-minded. Sarala is the first qualification of a devotee. The opposite of Sarala, simplicity, is duplicity. So, this is his qualification. The Gaudiya Vaishnava then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied with him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnava. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. And I do not know what my destination is because of this offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me." Prabhupada says, "There are many offenses one can commit while serving the Lord, and these are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Hari Bhakti Vilas, and other books. According to the rules and regulations, no one should accept obeisances in the temple of the Lord before the deity. Nor is it proper for a devotee to offer obeisances or touch the feet of the spiritual master before the deity. This is considered an offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it was not actually offensive to wash his lotus feet in the temple. However, because he was playing the part of an acharya, the Lord considered himself an ordinary human being. He also wanted to give instructions to ordinary human beings. The point is that even though one plays the part of a spiritual being, he should not accept obeisances or permit a disciple to wash his feet before the deity. This is a matter of etiquette. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was outwardly angry. At this point, Swarup Damodar Goswami caught the Gaudiya Vaishnava by the neck and, giving him a little push, ejected him from the Gundichapuri temple and made him stay outside. After Swarup Damodar returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. Ignorant. Very satisfied. He then asked, pacified mind. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inside of this. Finally, he rested a few minutes and then began dancing. All around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tears, jubilation, and roaring. Indeed, the tears from his eyes washed his body and those before him. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the bodies of all the devotees with the tears from his eyes. Tears poured like rains in the month of Shravana. The sky was filled with commenting on the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shishastika, Cheto Darpana Marjana. First line about what Sankirtan movement is supposed to do is cleanse the heart. In this age, everyone's heart is unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridyantasto Hibhadrani. Abhadrani, the heart is full of things that are abhadra, are inauspicious. Those things are called anarthas, things that one does not want. So those are the dirty things in the heart. So, of course, the Lord, Vedyantastha, is situated in the heart, but not visible to us because of dirty things. So here at this Gundicha temple, they were preparing to receive Lord Jagannath, who's going to come there. So this is the instruction. How thoroughly this cleaning went on. Chepal, Darpana, Marjana. To wash all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Cheto, Darpana, Marjanam. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 confirms this statement. Shrinvata, Sokata Krishna, Punya Sravana, Kirtana, Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani, Vidunoti, Surit, Satam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. The Prabhupada says here, truthful devotee, one after all has to follow the process properly for chanting. So the qualification is given as sitam, truthful. Same thing as sarala or saralata, simple, without any duplicity. So when one is has his heart set on becoming Krishna conscious and is willing to give up all alternative modes of achieving happiness, seeing them as illusory, then that is called truthful. So in that case, the desire for material enjoyment will disappear from the heart. Why? Because the Krishna Katha is punya, shravana, kirtana. It is a virtuous or pious when he says properly heard and chanted. So there's a method for cultivation of the holy name. As you can see, the cleansing process has to be done with some care and attention, even to the point of being a bit picky. That's what's required. If the devotee at all wants to cleanse his heart, he must chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Sri Krishna, Shrinvatam Sokata Krishna. This is a simple process. Krishna himself will cleanse the heart because he is already seated there. Krishna wants to continue living within the heart. And the Lord wants to give directions. But one has to keep his heart as clean as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept the Gundicha temple. The devotee, therefore, has to cleanse his heart, just as the Lord cleansed the Gundicha temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand, weeds, or dust, in other words, anyabilasa purna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives brought about through fruitive work, speculative knowledge, the mystic yoga system, and so many other forms of so-called meditation. The heart must be cleansed without ulterior motive. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anya Bilasita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. Anya Abilasita Shunyam, devoid of desire for anything else except for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we undergo the process of devotional service with other things in view, then it will be Anya Abilasita Purna. We'll be, Prabhupada says somewhere, one should not enlist the holy name in his sinister purposes. One cannot have ulterior motives. As Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anya Bilasita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. In other words, there should not be any external motive. One should not attempt material upliftment, understanding the Supreme by speculative knowledge, fruitive activity, severe austerity and penances, and so on. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of Godhead. As soon as these are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit to serve as Krishna's sitting place. We cannot perceive the Lord's presence in our hearts unless our hearts are cleansed. A material desire is explained as a desire to enjoy the material world to its fullest extent. In modern language, this is called economic development. An inordinate desire for economic development is considered to be like straws and grains of sand within the heart. If one is overly engaged in material activity, the heart will always remain disturbed. As stated by Narottama Das Thakur, samsara vishalale divanishi hiyajvale judaite na kainu upaya. In other words, endeavor for material opulence is against the principle of devotional service. Material enjoyments includes activities such as great sacrifices for auspicious activity, charity, austerity, elevation to the higher planetary system, and even living happily within the material world. Modernized material benefits are like the dust of material contamination. When this dust is agitated by the whirlwind of fruitive activity, it overcomes the heart. And thus the mirror of the heart is covered with dust. There are many desires to perform auspicious and inauspicious activities, but people do not know how, life after life, they are keeping their hearts unclean. One who cannot give up the desire for fruitive activity is understood to be covered by the dust of material contamination. Karmis generally think that the interaction of fruitive activities can be counteracted by another karma or fruitive activity. This is certainly a mistaken conception. If one is deluded by such a conception, he is cheated by his own activity. Such activity has been compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant may bathe very thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out of the river, it immediately takes some sand from the land and throws it all over its body. If one suffers due to his past fruitive activities, he cannot counteract his suffering by performing auspicious activity. The suffering of human society cannot be counteracted by material plans. The only way suffering can be mitigated is by Krishna consciousness. When one takes to Krishna consciousness and engages himself in devotional service of the Lord, beginning with chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, the cleansing of the heart begins. One kind of fruitive activity, inauspicious or sinful activity, and they know that therefore I'll suffer in this life or in the next life. And so to counteract it, they perform an auspicious activity, ranging from giving big donations to ecclesiastical organizations, endowing universities, establishing hospitals, feeding the poor, the sick, and so on. All of these activities are mostly motivated by a guilty conscience and a fear of the consequences of their sinful activities. People make a great fortune, and in the process of making a great fortune, they commit many crimes. Then they attempt to atone for it by spending a fraction of that portion on pious works. Anyway, this will not suffice to relieve one of suffering. It's like the elephants bathing. You make your atonement. Every religion has some method of, I commit some sinful activities and I perform some rituals for atoning. And then I am purified of that effect, and then I go back and commit more sinful activities. The holy name may be used as such a materialistic atonement device, but it is an offense against the holy name to consider it that way. In other words, consider the holy name one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities. That's what it means. And now I can make up for it by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So that becomes an offense when I'm using it in that way. I'm not chanting for love of God, but merely to try to protect myself from the consequence of my bad deeds. But my bad deeds continue. Impersonal speculation, monism, merging into the existence of the spirit, speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and meditation are all compared to grains of sand. They simply cause irritation to the heart. This is why, by the way, great sages like Guru Vasamuni have a hard time being Krishna conscious, even though they are so advanced in some respects. By virtue of severe penances and austerities and so on, they gain great powers. But still, they cannot take to Krishna consciousness. And in fact, sometimes become enemies of devotees. That's why. The grain that's dirt. No one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such activities, nor do we give the Lord a chance to sit in our hearts peacefully. Rather, the Lord is simply disturbed by them. Sometimes the yogis and the gyanis, in the beginning, take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a way to begin their various practices. However, when they falsely think that they have attained release from the bondage of material existence, they give up chanting. They do not consider the ultimate goal as the form of the Lord or the name of the Lord. Such unfortunate creatures are never favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they do not know what devotional service is. They are described in the Bhagavad Gita in this way: Tanaham Dushita Kuran Samsarishu Naradaman Shipam Yajasram Ashubhan Asurishu eva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. 16:19. The demons are always envious of the Lord and are therefore most mischievous. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activity comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. However, the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault-finding, and pratishtasha, the desire for name and fame and for high position, jivahimsa, envy of other living entities, nishidachara, accepting things forbidden in the Shastra, kama, desire for material gain, and puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. It's also mentioned here as fault finding. As an example, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certain to be attacked by other material desires as well, women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. Gradually, one desires to become a reputed devotee or an avatar incarnation. In other words, he's talking about the idea of cleaning the outside. In other words, one has to keep certain things far away because one gives up. In other words, one surrenders to Krishna consciousness and joins the Krishna consciousness movement and gives up all material desires, so it appears. But subtly, they're still there in the heart. And then one discovers that one can actually use one's Krishna consciousness to improve one's material position. So that the very acts that I have taken up in order to save me from the material world now become the cause of my entanglement. What can I do then? What's going to save me if those things which I took up to save me are now causing my bondage? I put on the garb of a renunciate and become very proud. I become attached to my saffron cloth, my sannyasi lungi. People worship me wherever I go. That renunciation now is my material attachment because I'm attached to pratishtasha or whatever. Puja, hanking for popularity. So these are described as the subtle forms of material desires that could be in the heart, and then It's not simply enough that I had joined the religious institution and give up gross desires, because in the subtle form they come there, one becomes a little successful in devotional service, attracts a following, gets worshipers, becomes proud of his position, likes being popular, and then gets the kind of cheap adoration, and then gets attacked by the gross desires. They come back, women and wealth, and then the heart becomes filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder. We've seen this in our own movement very prominently. And so one has to be. That's why you got to not only pick up the little grains, but then clean the outside too and keep things far away. This is a warning to us. We can't say that Prabhupada didn't give us all warning, these kinds of dangers. Here it is, the flashing red light and so on. But people sometimes think, I'm so well established in Krishna consciousness, now I don't have to worry anymore. Whereas one should always feel oneself. The cleansing process cannot stop for a minute. I can never say, now my heart is clean, I can take it easy. Anyway, he goes on to describe these contaminations. The word jiva himsa, envy of other living entities, actually means stopping the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Preaching work is described as paropakara, welfare activity for others. Those who are ignorant of the benefits of devotional service must be educated by preaching. If one stops preaching and simply sits down in a solitary place, he is engaging in material activity. If one desires to make a compromise with the Maya bodies, he is also engaged in material activities. A devotee should never make compromises with non-devotees. By acting as a professional guru, mystic, yogi, or miracle man, one may cheat and bluff the general public and gain fame as a wonderful mystic. But all this is considered to be dust, straw, and grains of sand within the heart. In addition, one should follow the regulative principles and not desire illicit sex, gambling, intoxicants, and meat. To give us practical instructions, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction, as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleansing. For cleaning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed, as clean as marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. One don't know the real meaning of cool. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activities, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. All these are like spots on clean cloth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. Once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down. And we should observe the festival by distributing prasad and chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to teach every devotee by his personal behavior. Everyone who spreads the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising and praising individuals in the course of cleansing, and those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was pleased with those who could cleanse the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within. This is called anartha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Sri Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. Any questions? That seems to be a custom in ISKCON. I don't know where it came about, but that obeisances should not be being paid to the spiritual master, but to the deities. I don't know. This seems to be a little different from what it says here. We come in front of the deities, actually, usually say Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra, don't we? I mean, that's the way Prabhupada taught us to say. We enter the temple room, the deities are there, we offer Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra. So he taught us like that. I'll have to ask about that. So anyway, I follow the way Srila Prabhupada did it. Anyway, it's a small point. Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, anyway, we should understand what it is. Our project is for becoming Krishna conscious, what all the different dangers are that stand in our way. And we should see with what diligence the temple is clean. Also, it's important that the temple itself, cleaning the temple is cleaning our hearts. And at least when I see the temple is dirty, I see dirty hearts. Somehow or other, I think that when there's dirt and disorder, that the heart isn't clean. Well, it's worth spending time. And because we find out when we clean the temple, we actually clean our hearts. So that's also part of the process. Not only for receiving the Lord in our hearts, but for the proper worship of the deity. Regulation, cleanliness, gorgeous decoration and dressing. A gorgeous decoration and dressing is number 3. The first requirement is regulation and cleanliness. That's more important. That the hearts, that the temple be clean. That's all his, and the hearts of the devotees who are worshipping the deity also be clean and pure. The Lord is within us in our hearts, and when the dirt is cleared away, he will appear. And also the